My study is about clinical care strategies for high-performing and winning home health agencies, and I'm the senior author, I'm the first author, and my colleague Angela Richard from the University of Colorado is assisting, and William Butchko is from the Center of Medicare and Medicaid Services, and he was a project officer, or is the project officer and funding agent for this evaluation of the home health pay-for-performance program. Let me say a word about home health. Home health is sometimes the hidden healthcare provider in the healthcare trilogy, if you will. Everyone knows hospitals. Everybody also knows nursing homes, but most people forget about home health agencies. Home health agencies provide in excess of 4 million episodes of care annually, with about 12,000 agencies around the country. They do provide sort of a help with a transition from hospital into a fully functioning back into the home environment, and indeed that is the goal of home health agencies is to create fully functioning patients, typically serving the geriatric or the senior over 65 population. As with everyone else, as a faculty member, we have no money coming in, and we don't do drugs. The our research question: what is the quality? What quality activities are there in high-performing home health agencies that produce superior outcomes? Unlike MDS, which most of people are familiar with, MDS takes a look at many of the processes, what are the activities done within a nursing home or a skilled nursing home facility. Home Health OASIS instrument has always looked at patient outcomes. And so while we knew what the patient, whether the patient improved, and we could document that how much they improved in terms of functional or utilization kinds of outcomes, we really don't know what it is that home health agencies actually do to produce those outcomes. As part of the pay-for-performance program, there were seven states, and as in the background here, we have seven states involved, 750 volunteer agencies in four regions. So we have Massachusetts and Connecticut in the Northeast. We have Tennessee, Georgia, and Alabama in the Southeast. We have Illinois representing the Midwest, and we have California representing the West. So there were 570 volunteer agencies. They were divided into two groups, a control group and a treatment group. The treatment group was basically told, if you perform well and if there is a cost savings between you and the control agencies in terms of your healthcare utilization, then we will reward you for your high performance. That is, there are seven targeted outcomes for which there could be high performance or high improvement or substantial improvement. So this slide here sort of provides that information I just talked about. There are seven of the 41 outcome OBQI measures that are based on OASIS, two utilization measures, acute care hospitalization and any emergent care, and then five functional measures, improvement in ambulation, bathing, management of oral meds, status of surgical wounds, and transferring. These were the seven targeted outcomes. Again, if a treatment agency, and they were evenly distributed across each of the seven states, if the treatment agency was essentially in the top 10% of treatment agencies in terms of their score, now, of course, improvement scores, we want to see higher rates of improvement. With acute care hospitalization and any emergent care, we want to see lower rates of improvement. These were risk-adjusted scores, so it took into consideration case mix issues. The methods that we use, that we're using for the pay-for-performance evaluation, is really a three-part measure methodology. This, what I'm reporting on today here in this session, is one part of it, and that's the focus groups where we went out and collected primary data with a sample of home health agencies around the country. This afternoon I'll be presenting a second part of the evaluation, which is on a web-based survey that we gave to, or that we invited all 570 agencies to participate. We selected two agencies from each of the regions based on the 2007 OBQI scores. We had, we did on-site focus groups. We did focus groups with the management team. There were 5 questions and then 17 extra probes. We also did a focus group with the clinical staff, 10 questions, 2 probes. 8 agencies around the country, 16 focus groups, 92 participants. So they were very, very much interested in participating. In year one is calendar year 2008. Year two is calendar year 2009, and we're continuing that activity into this year. We selected, again, 2 agencies from each region based on their year one performance. Their year one performance was that 2008 time period. We did on-site visits. The management team question had 15 focus questions and 11 probes, and the clinical team had 12 questions and 12 probes. To date, for the second year, we have 6 agencies, 12 focus groups, and 46 participants. So what did we find? In year one, we had 4 major clinical and management themes, if you will. The first theme had to do with leadership and systems. So this is, again, trying to get a picture of what is it that makes high-performing agencies high-performing. In terms of leaders, we were very impressed, and it was very clear, both in terms of interviewing them and talking with the management team, that they could articulate what needed to be done. They emphasized patient-centric approach. That is, it was not about making money. It was about getting the patient to be fully functioning. And, they were very proactive in terms of getting resources, and again, the goal was help patients get better. They weren't there to care for the patient. They were very clear about that. We're not here to care for the patient. We're here to help the patient get him or herself better. The other thing that they did, which was very not very clear and until you started thinking about it, is they made a conscious effort to create a single system. That is, all of their systems, their accounting system, their data collection system, their payment system, their information exchange system was all geared to one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to get the patient better. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. There was a lot of cross-training that went on in the administrative staff, and there was a continuous flow of information between the clinical, the administration, administration portion and the clinicians. In terms of being patient-oriented was, again, the next large theme. And there were 3 parts here, the first 2 on this page. First of all, multidisciplinary teams. Since we started OASIS, and my organization was the one that first constructed OASIS back in the late 90s, we have emphasized the use of multidisciplinary teams. One word that came through loud and clear, and that's why it's the first one on there, everyone, both at the clinical staff and the management staff, said, it's not my patient. Okay, so the PTs and the OTs never spoke about the patient as being my patient. It was our patient. It was not my responsibility to get the patient better. It was our responsibility to get the patient better. And so everyone began to, you know, find out what their contribution was to that, treating the whole patient. Again, the single system approach removed silos. So it wasn't the PTs going in doing their job. It wasn't the nurses going in doing their job. It was everyone, and it was a sort of a circular thing going on. Communication and feedback, it flowed in all directions, up, down, sideways. It was ongoing and informal. It was technology enhanced. The home health world has made it into the 21st century. Almost all the agencies we went to made use of computer-based data collection. They also made use of cell phones. They were very, very adamant. One group tried to take away the cell phones or tried to make them pay for it, and there was a revolt in that organization. Again, the reason why the technology worked was because it identified patient, any kind of change in patient status immediately. Patient-oriented, again, the adopted technology with the patient focus, lots of telehealth, but the telehealth reviews, almost every one of the agencies we visited has, in fact, used telehealth, but there were mixed reviews. A lot of it has to do with training that needs to go on. cell phones, emails, patient-centric, improved wound care. A number of agencies have identified wound care as a critical issue, certainly in the world of hospitals and nursing homes, skilled nursing homes. Pressure ulcer care has been a key element in what's going on. Home health doesn't have that many, but we are taking that to heart. In terms of organization-oriented, these high-performing agencies are extremely, and you do underline that word, extremely data-driven. They are very, the CMS reports that they can get on any day are okay, but they're insufficient. Many of them have a private vendor, so they can have literally overnight results on how their patient status is going. The data are downloaded from the telemonitoring devices and then uploaded to their vendor, and then the next day the palm pilots of the supervisors get hits in terms of what's going on with these patients. So it is just amazing how much telehealth is going on out there, and the large thing. Large agencies do have a quality management person, and they very, very much are geared to processes and systems leading to improvement. The communication, again, as I mentioned, it's open, ongoing, cross-organization and cross-disciplinary. There's an open door kind of approach, again, in these high-performing agencies. It's very respectful to colleagues, and the single system does help. There are a number of agencies where they literally use GPS. Now, I don't know if you know about home health, but these are nurses that are or PTs who are on the road. And if you're on the road in a rural area and you come up to a dirt road and there's a cross section and there's no sign, it really is important to have a GPS. If you're in the city of Chicago and you want to find out, you know, where the heck am I, and how long should I be at different locations, GPS certainly helps. And so they use it both as a security device and as a informational device, and they use it as a tracking device. One of the complaints that you hear about home health is the daughter will call up and start screaming at the poor receptionist, why wasn't that nurse there? My mother said the dog, on. And they said, oh, okay, who are you and what's your name? And, oh, you mean when our nurse visited at your mom's house from this time to this time on this date? And she goes, well, how do you know that? Well, the GPS was stopped in front of your mother's house, okay, for 45 minutes on this date between this time and this time. Why don't you check with mom again about this particular time? So, okay, I've got 3 minutes, so we're going to zip on down here. The other thing I want to point out was the organization culture. All these organizations had a very strong history of high quality performance. This is a little bit hard to read, I think, but basically our first year agencies, as you can see, Adventist out in California, they won 6 awards. Okay, I didn't know what they would win, I just knew what they were performing the year before. Covina had ended up with 4, Excellent out in Skokie, Illinois had 6. So the agencies we visited were very high performing. The areas where they had the greatest functional success was in transfer, ambulation, and oral meds. That tends to be the real focus of many home health activities. In year 2, we visited Asian Pacific out in California. They won 7 awards. There were 3 agencies in the country that won 7 awards. Asian Pacific was one, and the VNA of Wakefield, Massachusetts was the other. Notice that they typically were the high performers. Again, what were the high areas of interest? Management of oral meds follows on with all the pharmacy stuff that we just talked about, and ambulation. Year 2 findings, they corroborated year 1. The communication was kind of interesting in that many of these agencies chose not to tell their clinical staff that they were part of pay-for-performance. And this was conscious decision by the management. They simply wanted them to keep on doing what they were doing. There's a lack of feedback that's occurred in the pay-for-performance program. Basically, treatment agencies were notified in 2007 that they were part of the treatment program, and that was the last time they heard anything until a check arrived in late 2009. Not quite my idea of a treatment intervention, and that's certainly part of my evaluation. They were very specific and targeted strategies to succeed. They borrowed materials from the QIOs. They really liked the materials that was going on. Their hiring practices changed. There are no newbies in the hiring of home health agencies. People must have lots of experience because there's a good deal of independent work that goes on. And again, lots of point of care documentation using tablets. And after some initial problems, they were very much supportive of this. Some of the artifacts. Number one, all of these agencies have told us they are very physically profitable. They did not go after profit. They went after health care. Okay, they went after patient care, quality patient care, and it led to profit. Very positive morale, extremely low turnover rate, and every agency had the same story. What are the summary? Strong, effective, purposeful leadership, number one. Single integrated system approach, number two. The development of a quality culture, number three. Multidisciplinary teams with a patient-centric, culturally sensitive, and we visited many different cultures, a perspective on patient care, and investment in technology to enhance clinician effectiveness. That is, give them the tools to do their job. Thank you.